packet tonight. I want to talk to you about the prayer ministry here at Calvary. Many times people tell me, how can I serve here at Calvary? And there are a plethora of ways that you can serve, but a very important way is through the prayer ministry. And I'm going to introduce it, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about prayer tonight. And in your handout, if you'll look at Pastor's Prayer Team, we could actually just call it the Calvary Baptist Church Prayer Ministry, any way you want to look at it. And Romans 15:30 is our key verse, says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." I recognize that I am completely dependent upon the prayers of God's people for the welfare of our ministry here at Calvary. I can't do what I do without your prayers. And our pastoral staff can't do what they do without your prayers. We as a church need to be a praying church. We need to pray for one another. We need to pray for the unsaved. Pray for our nation. Pray for revival. So pray for those that are in difficult times or going through health issues. I believe that Calvary throughout its history has been a praying church, and we need to stay a praying church. Amen? And here's a way that you can be involved in the prayer ministry. First of all, it's what we call an intercessor level. That means that you call into what we call the Calvary prayer line, and Monday through Friday, we update that with a verse of scripture, a quick devotion, and then give you a list of pertinent prayer requests for that day. At times, it'll be a person that's having surgery the next day, or maybe somebody in surgery that day, or maybe another special need that'll be mentioned. And and what you're doing is praying. Maybe if there's something going on in the Christian school, our church ministry, the college ministry, or a different area, maybe on jail night, we'll mention, pray for the jail ministry team. Wednesdays, the nursing home ministry team. Friday nights, RU ministry. And so we'll have you praying for those different ministries as well, and how important that is. And so what we'd ask you to do is commit to that. Say, I'll call as I can Monday through Friday. And there's no way of us knowing how many people call in. We don't know that. But this is a way that we can say, okay, we've got 50, we've got 100, we've got so many people that are committing that they're going to pray. And it only takes a couple minutes. I mean, just a couple minutes. Call in, and it's 24 hours. Call in, get the requests, and pray over those needs. Pray for our church. Pray for revival, the different things that we put on there to pray for. And you become a team intercessor for this ministry. And folks, I'm going to tell you, I believe God works through prayer. And God wants you and I to pray. And we'd encourage you to do that. And then we have what's called a first responder level. That's basically our prayer chain. Okay? And we don't wear this out. So you may only get four or five, maybe six or seven at the most, prayer emergent prayer requests at a time. This is that are tragic. Or maybe it's a situation that needs prayer at that moment that is extremely serious. And we don't burn people's phones up with these. We use different outlets for these different things. These are the most emergent things that we'll ask you as a church to pray for. And you can get those by text. Sometimes we'll send out a call. And I want to apologize for our calling system right now. It is not working properly. We are sorry for that. We are working on something to work better, and so be patient with us. And then sometimes we'll send out an email, or that's an emergency prayer request, and then we ask you to just stop what you're doing and immediately pray, because it's that pertinent, it's that emergent, it's that serious. Now, if you want to be a first responder, we've just found the best way to do that is to become one right now by receiving the text. And so this is the one time we'd ask you to get your phone out in church if you want to. I'll give you a minute to do that if you want to, all right? And this is how you get that. You're going to text, is it CBC prayer or just prayer? Help me. It's CBC prayer, all right, because earlier today it just said prayer. We had it wrong. Okay, all right. So y'all are getting me straightened out. So you're going to text CBC prayer to 41411, okay? And what that means is that you are signing up for the prayer ministry here at Calvary. So if you want to do that, you go ahead and do that right now. All right? It's on the screen. We just felt like it's the best way to go ahead and get it taken care of. Some of you can do it later. But if you have your phone, and then if you don't care, go ahead and put that away after you do it and silence it and all that. I don't carry my phone to the pulpit. That way nobody can call me and say, "Preacher, you're preaching too long." So just fixes that. There have been a couple times in my life I've forgotten, and lo and behold, I'd get a phone call right when I was preaching. I think it's happened once here and once in revival. So I just leave that thing. As a matter of fact, I give it to Dwayne. If it goes off, it's in the sound booth. It's their fault, okay? So anyway. All right, so you can sign up intercessor level, first responder level, and then thirdly, we have prayer meetings every Sunday in our church. Now, let me mention the different prayer meetings. We have personal. This is a way that you can be personally involved in corporate prayer here at Calvary. The ladies meet on Sunday nights at 5:45 in room 128. It's right down this hall, room 128, okay? The men meet on Sunday mornings, 7:45, right over here. We pray for about 15 minutes, and then a lot of guys go back, pick up their families, others stay. But we meet right over here for Sunday morning prayer, 7:45 a.m. We'd love to have you pray with us on Sunday mornings. And then Sunday evenings at 5:45, room 132, right through those double doors straight across, you'll see room 132, and we have men's prayer meeting there on Sunday nights, okay? And these are some ways that you can be collectively involved in prayer meetings. And then let me mention one other way, fellas, that is not on here, and that is our men's sportsman's night. It's actually the beginning of our faithful men's ministry here at Calvary, and we're going to be having prayer breakfast throughout the year where we're going to gather, we're going to grow together as men, we're going to pray together as men, and we have some Saturdays scheduled once a month that we'll meet for about an hour and a half, have breakfast, we're going to give a lesson to help us grow together. Iron sharpeneth iron. You sharpen me, I sharpen you. We want to grow together. We want to mentor young adults men and help them to grow. I believe there is a biblical principle of more mature men teaching younger men, mature ladies teaching younger ladies, and we just believe that God's given us a great outlet here, and we want to take that opportunity. And we need men who want to be mentors. You say, you know, I'd like to mentor a young man. I'd like to do that. I'd like to take him under my wing. I'd like to encourage him. I'd like to be there for him, pray with him. These are some opportunities to be involved in that area. And our first one, I think, is coming up on February the 2nd, Saturday night. We'll be kicking that off, okay? As you go back to the table tonight, we're going to ask you if you're going to sign up on the intercessor level. And there is a place here where you can update your information for us. And we'll get you on the intercessor level here at Calvary in our prayer ministry. There's a table in the foyer area. Brother Delp will be at that table. And we have two messages there. One of them on how to pray for your pastor. Excellent message. And the other one, maybe some of you already have this who's been throughout the years here a part of the prayer team, and you've already gotten that CD. There's another one called Praying for Missionaries, and you can pick that one up. Just learn to pray for our missionaries. And that's part of what we're asking you to do as part of that intercessory level, intercede for the different missionaries that are supported by our church and the 15 missionaries that are sent out by Calvary Baptist Church, okay? And so you can pick these up at the table as well, okay? They're free of charge, won't cost you anything, and want to encourage you to do that, okay? All right, any questions we have about that tonight? I'm excited. We just every year want to reignite the prayer ministries here at Calvary because we believe that whatever God puts on our heart to do for the coming year, it can't be accomplished apart from prayer. And we need people of prayer. When Brother Vernon's father passed away, Brother John Vernon, who was a prayer warrior here at our church, led the prayer ministries for years, I had many men come to me and say, "I want to be a John Vernon." Can I tell you, we need John Vernons. We need men who will be like Brother Vernon, Brother John Vernon, who's now in heaven, to take that mantle and become men of prayer. And you'll never know. Listen, you may not see a lot of results down here, but only heaven will reveal what God will do through your prayers over time. And I believe God will let you see some things here. Amen? And then I think of the ladies in our church. I could call name after name after name. I was with Miss Sander for last week. I visited her and spent some time with her. And many of you know she had broke her hip again. And she told me, she said, "You know, when I was so down and so sick and hurt so bad, I couldn't get to my prayer cards like I wanted to." Well, I'm grateful for women like that. And we've got many of you ladies that pray. And I want to say thank God for you. Thank God for you. Boy, I appreciate what you do for this ministry and for you interceding for people. And there's people I know I can send you an email through one of our secretaries, and I know you'll pray. And I want to say thank you, ladies, for being prayer warriors in this ministry. You sure mean a lot. Okay? All right, then. That'll cover the bases, okay, on that. You can flip that over, give you an outline for tonight, okay? Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter number 11. I want to talk to you about Jesus teaching on prayer. Prayer was important in the life of the Lord, and I believe it ought to be important in my life and in your life. And tonight, I'm not going to give you an exhaustive message out of these verses. I'm going to give you some thoughts tonight just to challenge us in the area of prayer. Luke chapter number 11, find verse number 1. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 1. You know, every one of us are in the school of prayer. We're learning to pray. Nobody ever arrives in this matter called prayer. I know many of the men and ladies that have been part of the prayer ministries here at Calvary for years and years and years. And if you ask them, they'll tell you they've not mastered the art of prayer. That they're still learning. They're still growing. They're in the school of prayer. Now, you know what? For some folks, I'm like in the kindergarten level when I get around some of our people that really know how to pray in our church. And you know what? I want to grow. I want to learn from the Lord how to pray and be a man of prayer. And notice, if you would, Luke chapter 11, verse number 1, the Bible said, "And it came to pass that as he was praying," this is the Lord Jesus, he was praying in a certain place. It's interesting to go through your Bible and find the times that Jesus prayed. It was the very breath of his life to be in the atmosphere of prayer with his heavenly Father. And you and I ought to be a people of prayer. And it was, his prayer life was so impactful that, notice the Bible says, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." It's interesting. They didn't say, "Lord, teach us to heal like you heal." They didn't say, "Lord, teach us to teach like you teach." Or, "Lord, teach us to preach like you preach." They said, "Lord, teach us." His prayer life so impacted the life of those men. They were so in awe of the prayer life of Jesus. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray like you pray." And then the Lord began to give them a model prayer. I know you can go into many churches and Sunday after Sunday and service after service, they'll quote this prayer. And I'm not saying it's wrong to quote the prayer. They'll call it the Lord's Prayer. But I want to remind you, this is not a prayer Jesus would ever pray. You say, "Preacher, why is that?" Because built in this prayer is the prayer for the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus many times prayed, "Father, forgive them." But he never one time prayed, "Father, forgive me," because he never sinned. It's a model prayer. It's the disciples' prayer. It's a prayer to teach you and I to pray. It's an outline of prayer. And of course, while we'll not look at every part of it tonight, the Lord begins to teach them how to pray. He said, "Lord, teach us to pray," as John also taught his disciples. And I want to talk to you tonight about Jesus teaches on prayer. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the sweet spirit in the service tonight. I pray you'll help me as I preach. I pray, Lord, that you'll bless your word. I pray, Lord, that you would move us to be men and women of prayer. God, to early on learn the importance of prayer in our lives as Christians. To understand, Lord, that it's the way of communion with you. And Lord, we'll sure thank you for what you do for us tonight. And Lord, help us to be a powerful church because we're a praying church. God, our nation needs prayers. Lord, our families need prayer. God, our community needs prayer. Lord, help us to be a people that pray. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to give you several thoughts tonight. Number one, I want you to jot this down. Prayer is a relationship. Prayer is a relationship. There is a difference between saying prayers and praying. Praying has to do with developing our walk with God. It is a spiritual exercise that grows my relationship with the Lord. I'll never have an intimate, close relationship with my wife if I don't communicate with her, if she doesn't communicate with me. We can't know one another if we don't talk to one another. And I'm going to just tell you, you can't know God like you ought to know God if you don't talk to Him. You know, prayer is the communication line. It's the means by which you and I communicate our heart to God. It's how we get in touch with God. It's how we commune with God. It's a means by which we walk with God. Through the Bible, as I've said it many times, and you've heard it said many times, God talks to me. The one way I can be sure that God talks to me is when I read His Word. I look into the pages of the Word of God and I know that God is speaking to me. And then I bow my head and I begin to speak to my Heavenly Father. And I begin to talk to God in prayer. It is a relationship. First of all, it's a relationship with the Father. I pray to the Father. Now, let me just say something, okay? People ask me this all the time. Preacher, is it wrong to pray to Jesus? Absolutely not. He's God. Preacher, is it wrong to ask the Holy Spirit for things? No, I don't think that's necessarily wrong. There's times that I ask the Holy Spirit to have control of my life, to produce His fruit in me so that I might show forth the character of Christ. There's times to ask the Holy Spirit to fill me and use me and enable me as I preach. But the main communication line of prayer is designed to be prayed to the Father. He gives us a relationship with God the Father. Notice, if you would, please, in verse number 2. And He said unto them, when you pray. He didn't say if you pray. He said when you pray. Say, our Father. What a statement. Do you know that no less than 70 times in the four Gospels, Jesus addresses God as Father? It's interesting that He speaks of a relationship and reminds us that prayer is not a subject coming to a king. It's not a servant that is approaching his master. It is a son. It is a daughter who is coming to their father. And you know, it's interesting that God is referred to as Father only 14 times in all of the Old Testament. And then it was in a national sense rather than personal. But when Jesus came, He introduced to men a whole new relationship with God. And He taught us to call Him our Father. Isn't that important? Oh, how important that is. Let me just remind you, not everybody can call God Father. Listen, God created everybody, but He's the creator of all men, but He's not the Father of all men. He becomes our Father when we enter into a right relationship with Him through faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. And the moment that I receive Jesus Christ as Savior, I am born into the family of God, and God becomes my Father. He's my Heavenly Father. And I like what the Bible says. Notice He said, our Father which art in heaven. I like that. That reminds me that my Father's in heaven. Heaven is His throne and the earth is His footstool. Aren't you glad that our God is great? No wonder the Bible says, ascribe you greatness unto our God. He's the maker of heaven and earth. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. The earth, He said, the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. My, what a wonderful God that we have. You know, I like how the Lord designated our Father. He said, I just want you to know, your Father's the one who's in heaven. I was reading today again as I'd been preaching Sunday morning through the Gospel of Mark, and it was interesting that the Lord's mother and His brothers came to Capernaum. And there they came to the Lord, and while He was teaching the multitudes, they said, thy mother and thy brethren call for thee. And the Lord Jesus made an interesting statement. He said, who is my brother and my mother? Who is my mother and my brother and my sisters? He was talking about a spiritual relationship, those that were in a right relationship with Him. But here's what's interesting. You know what's omitted from that verse? Fathers. Because you know what? We have one Father, and He's our Heavenly Father. And so, you know, I'm not going to go around and call a guy with a robe on who's dressed like a mother and call him a father. But anyway, aside the point. We'll just move on from there, right? And so I come to Him as a son coming to the Father. We come to God in prayer as a child talking with the Father. He's our Father who art in heaven. And we hallow His name. That means we reverence Him. We praise Him. You know what? Before we ever dive into what we want from God, why don't we take a moment and praise Him that He is God? How important that is. But then I want you to notice, not only is it a relationship with the Father, but it's a relationship with the Son. With the Lord Jesus. And I want you to notice this and think about it. What a blessed thought that I can approach my Heavenly Father anytime, any place, about anything, gain an audience with the King of Heaven. He's never too busy. Never gets bored or bothered by my pleas to Him. And I'm so grateful for that. But then I recognize, and I want you to turn over to John chapter number 16. Because here is my relationship to the Son. Notice, all three persons of the Trinity are involved in this matter of prayer. Look, if you would, verse number 24. We'll actually begin verse 23 of John Gospel of John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse number 23. The Bible says, Jesus speaking to His disciples before He goes to the cross, and He says, in that day ye shall ask Me nothing. How many people take that verse out of context and say, you should never pray to Jesus? Well, that's not what the Lord's saying. Here's what He's saying. He's saying that you're not going to ask Me again for a need in an earthly relationship sense that you have for the last 3.5 years. I'm going back to the Father's house. Okay, so before their prayer, their needs were met as they would go to the Lord. And He's saying, now wait a minute, I just want you to know that our relationship's getting ready to change. I'm going back to the Father's house. And that day, you're not going to ask Me in the same way that you do now. That relationship's changing. And notice He says, verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in My name, He will give it you. Hitherto have you asked nothing in My name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Did you notice 2 times the phrase, in My name? I pray to the Father through the Son. I'm just going to give you this very quickly. He is My way of access. My way of access. Romans 5 verses 1 and 2. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, whom also we have access. Do you realize that I have access to the Father through my relationship to His Son? He gives me access. Jot this one down. Not only do I have access, but I have acceptance. Acceptance. We're accepted in the blood. Can I tell you, Jesus, God never answers a prayer for your sake. He never answers a prayer for my sake. He answers a prayer for His Son's sake. Praying in Jesus' name is not a magical formula that we tack on to the end of our prayers and God automatically answer it. No, it's a reminder that I approach God through His Son. No man comes to the Father but by Me. There it is. So I have access, but then I have acceptance. He answers my prayer because of His Son. And listen, the value of a check is not in the amount on the check, but the signature on the check. It was funny, when I was pastoring in Lenore, some young guys broke in, stole our safe, drug it off to the woods, took a couple days, they finally got it open, they found the checkbook, and they wrote them a great big fat check for about $10,000, and then signed my name to it. Took it to the bank. Well, that check wasn't worth the paper they wrote it on because my name was on it. Just like here, I'm not a check signer. You can sign my name to every check here at Calvary Baptist Church and it's worthless, and praise God for it. I don't want my name on it. There's other people that take care of those things. And so they took it, and as they took it in to cash the check at the bank, the lady knew me personally and knew that what had happened, and she immediately hit the button, and guess what? They got arrested about a block down the street for thievery. And stealing that check. That check, they could have had a great big amount on it, but it was worthless because my name was on it. It was worthless. The name is what makes the check valuable. And prayer in Jesus' name is like being given a blank check signed by the Lord Himself that's cashable in the bank of heaven. And then not only access, not only acceptance, but jot this down, in accordance with. Now what does that mean, preacher? He said, in My name. I believe that we ought to pray prayers that Jesus can sign His name to. Can He sign His name to the prayers you've been praying? Is your prayer a prayer that pleases the Lord? I think it's the same thing when you look in this verse that He says, hitherto have you asked nothing, ask and ye shall receive that your joy may be full. But notice it's in His name. It's a pray. It is a prayer that the Lord would sign His name to, so to speak. 1 John 5, for sake of time, 14 and 15, you can jot that down. We're to pray in the will of God. Not am I to know God's will, I'm to pray God's will. God answers my prayer in accordance with the will of His Son for my life. And then notice, it's in the Holy Spirit. I like that. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Can we hold our... Let's just go ahead and move on over to Romans chapter 8 and tonight. And this may be our ending spot, and we'll come back and finish it up. Now, if you were looking for us to finish up the message on Hebrews, we did that on Sunday night, and you can get that online You can, Hebrews 6 began last Wednesday night. We finished that up on Sunday night, actually. And so you can get that online or from Sermon Audio or call the office. We can get that that to you. You can download it and finish that out. But we'll probably preach on prayer again next week simply for sake of time. Look, if you would, the Holy Spirit. Look, if you would, Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Do you realize the Holy Spirit is my prayer helper? I like prayer partners. I do. On Sunday mornings, we'll have prayer partners. A couple guys will divide up and we'll pray for each other, pray for the needs, pray for the services on that given Sunday, ask God to do different things. It's nice having a prayer partner, but I want you to know, you may never have a human prayer partner, but you have a divine prayer partner, and His name is the Holy Spirit. He helps you pray. You ever ask the Holy Spirit to help you to pray? You ever ask the Holy Spirit to impress your heart with needs and things to pray for? It's interesting that the Bible says that we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. There are some things that are beyond my ability to pray for because I don't know how to pray for it. I don't know what to pray about it. I just know that there's a need here and I need to take it to God. But I'm glad at that moment my prayer partner, my prayer helper, the Holy Spirit, who knows all things, knows exactly what needs to be prayed, and He prays for me. Isn't that powerful? We're not talking about some kind of charismatic prayer language that the Holy Spirit gives you to speak in some kind of gibberish type tongue to God. God knows English just fine. I don't need some kind of special language to talk to God. He understands English. He understands, matter of fact, He understands every language of the world. You say, preacher, what language is going to speak in heaven? Will it be Hebrew? I have no idea. You know, I don't know what language we're going to speak in heaven, but you know what? I know that God knows my language here on earth, and you know what the amazing thing is? That people can be praying to their Heavenly Father from all over the world in all kinds of different languages all the time, and God hears you as if you were His only child. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? God's eye is upon you. His ear is open unto your cry. And the Holy Spirit is my prayer helper. Look at verse 27. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. It's very interesting that you and I have an advocate with the Father in heaven. His name is the Lord Jesus. He intercedes before the throne. Do you realize that Jesus is continually praying for you? He's in heaven praying for you. He's praying for me. He's interceding for us. He's my advocate. When I confess my sins to the Father, and I know this makes for good preaching, and I'm fine with the illustration where we'll confess a sin and Satan will accuse it, and he does accuse us of our sins, and the Lord Jesus would say to the Father, I paid for that sin. Do you realize He doesn't have to do that? And I have to say, I paid for that sin. His very presence in heaven with the scars of Calvary is an eternal reminder that sin has been paid for. I have to say anything. His very presence in heaven is an eternal reminder that sin has been dealt with. And once we can confess it, the Father is just in Himself. He's faithful to His Son to forgive us our sins. He's our intercessor in heaven. But now, wait a minute. God has an advocate in your heart, and He's called the Holy Spirit. And He's your prayer partner on earth. He's called our comforter. It's the word paraclete. He's the one who called alongside of to help. He's God's advocate in my heart. He convicts me when I do wrong. He gladdens me, comforts me, strengthens me, enables me, transforms me as He sanctifies me and makes me into the person He'd have me to be. He illumines my mind to the truth of God. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit who lives in me. Amen. God in you, the hope of glory. And then He's my prayer partner. That's powerful tonight. Think about it. The entire Trinity is involved in the matter of prayer. It is a relationship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And when you and I bow in prayer, we are communing with the God of heaven. and we're talking to Him. And prayer touches heaven that brings God's will and His power to bear on earth. That's a powerful thing. And you and I need to be employed in the ministry of prayer. Amen. I trust you'll commit to that. Now, whether you ever commit to a card or not. Now, committing to a card, if you're interested in calling, helps us to know that you're doing that you're partnering with us. It's an ministry. It's important. Those things. But you know what? I believe that there are men and women that are praying in this church all the time. And I thank God for you. I thank God for you. I'm grateful that you lift this ministry up to the Lord in prayer. We just like to know that you're partnering with us. Amen. And there's something about commitment that says, I'm part of a ministry. And the Lord's looking to me to fulfill my part of what He's given me to do through His local church. And that's prayer. And don't ever underestimate the importance of prayer. I'm going to say this and I'm done. So often we'll go to somebody and we'll say, what can I do for you? And here's what they'll say. You can pray for me. And you'll go, oh, that's all I can do. Let me tell you something. That's the best thing you'll ever do for me. Now, I'm grateful for people that do things for me. I am very grateful. Grateful for folks that write cards of encouragement to us when we're sick, do different things. We're very thankful. But more than anything, to covet your prayers. And I can promise you this. There are people that say to myself, Brother Vernon, Brother, these other pastoral staff members, and all the time they'll say, ask the church to pray for me. Pray for me. There are people that are dependent upon your prayers. Let's not underestimate it. Let's stand to our feet tonight. Maybe tonight.